Well, grace and mercy, peace be yours this day from God our Father and our risen Savior Jesus. Amen. There's a quotation attributed to Mark Twain that goes like this. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Great. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I couldn't stand him around. But by the time I got 21, I was astonished, just amazed at how much he had learned in 7 years. That's a big turning point in your life, that shift. I remember it pretty clearly. I was surprised. It was unexpected, unforeseen, kind of out of nowhere. Suddenly, my dad learned a few things. I didn't see it coming. I knew more than him my whole life. We all knew it. Like, I knew better than him my whole life. It wasn't a discussion. I obviously was further along than he was. And somehow, like, overnight, he caught up. I don't know where he found the time. I mean, maybe he was taking night classes I didn't know about. But somehow, you know, like, for me, it was right around the time I was getting married and having kids. All of a sudden, Dad put in a bunch of extra work, and he caught up to me, and even, you know, he really motivated. He kept going, and now, kind of out of nowhere, I find myself calling him for help. It was weird, right? I started calling my dad for advice. I started looking to this man for wisdom, but up until this point, I knew more than him my whole life. I did not see this moment coming. And it kind of left me scratching my head going, huh, way to go, Dad. Way to catch up, you know? Now, some of you in the room aren't there yet, and they'll get there, maybe. Some of you can remember that moment when all of a sudden Mom and Dad, turns out maybe they knew a thing or two. And obviously, Dad didn't change, but it was my perspective that changed. And when that perspective shift happened, I started to see differently. I started to see more clearly. And because of that change in perspective, it challenged me and sort of invited me to think about, to really re-examine everything I thought I knew. Because it was such kind of a world-changing moment for me. Everything I thought I knew, I had to look at afresh. Everything I thought I knew about my past, all those years growing up, I now had to look at differently. And my relationship now, I had to look at my present differently. And as I move forward in time with my dad, I had to think about that differently too. Everything I thought I knew, everything I had figured out, my past, my present, my future, I had to look at differently. I had to re-examine everything I thought I knew about my dad and our relationship. And all of a sudden, with that perspective shift, I started to see reality as it really was, and maybe as it had been all along, kind of for the first time. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, are about to experience the same sort of thing. At early dawn on the first day of the week, they're going to the tomb, and they're expecting to find a grave. They're expecting to find a grave. They're expecting to find a body. They are expecting to apply spices to a corpse as a last sign and gesture of love and respect for this beloved person in their life who had so much potential, who could have done so much good, but tragically, through some big misunderstanding, his life was cut short, and he was taken from them before his time was ready. And those women, they woke up that Easter morning. They woke up that day with a very particular perspective on life. They woke up that day with a very clear set of expectations. They woke up that day with a very definite way of seeing and interpreting the world. And it worked. Their way of seeing the world, the way of making sense of reality, it worked for them. They weren't looking for a new way of interacting with the world. They had their understanding of the world, and as new data came in, they kind of processed that new information through their understanding of the way the world worked. And that was working for them. They weren't looking for something new that morning. But everything was about to get turned upside down when they found something they weren't expecting. Nothing. Nothing. They got to the grave. Nothing. And they look around in that tomb, and there was nothing. And they searched every corner of this walk-in crypt carved out of stone. And apart from some linen cloths folded up and left behind, there was nothing. And they say to themselves, well, this doesn't make any sense. Who would have done this? Who would break in and rob the grave of a poor man? He didn't have anything. Who would come in and defile the finding resting place for our rabbi? Who would do this? This doesn't make any sense. And where is Jesus? And they came up with nothing. And while they were still standing there perplexed, behold, two angels show up, two men in dazzling white, and they say, Ladies, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember? Remember? Remember what he said? Remember what he told you? Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? Remember what he said? Remember what he said when he's still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise? Remember? And when we look in the Gospel of Luke, when we go back before Luke 24, this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what Jesus said. If you go back to Luke chapter 9, here's how Jesus says it there. He says, let these words sink into your ears. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Like, I know sometimes I embellish as I tell a story, perhaps, but this is what Jesus says to his disciples. He's trying to signal, this is kind of important, you should pay attention. As a dad, I'm saying this constantly to my kids. Just listen for a second. In love, of course. Jesus is saying, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. And then in Luke 18, he tells them again, more detail this time. In Luke 18, he says, see, like, look, behold, pay attention. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. So the women show up to the tomb, and the angels say, ladies, what are you doing? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, remember? Remember what he said? Remember what he said while he's still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day arise. Remember? This is exactly what Jesus said. And they didn't remember. And it turns out, even way back then, at the time, they didn't actually hear. Because in Luke 9, when Jesus says, let these words sink into your ears, the very next verse says, But they did not understand this saying. Luke chapter 18, when he gives more detail, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, flogging him, kill him, third day rise. The very next verse says, but they understood none of these things. That's what I feel like as a parent all the time. Just saying the same things over and over and over and over again, and they're not getting it. Easter. They should have seen it coming. Jesus spelled it out clearly, articulately, in no uncertain terms. He told them what was going to happen, but they didn't get it. They just didn't see it. But Easter morning unexpectedly changes everything. See, they woke up that morning as they had woken up countless mornings before that with a very particular perspective on life. They woke up with a very clear set of expectations, with a definite way of seeing and interpreting the world, and it made sense. It worked for them. They weren't looking for something new. They had their way of understanding the world, and they kind of processed new information as it comes in, and they weren't looking for something else, but Easter changed everything. And for the first time, unexpectedly, they see. They see everything. And in one sense, nothing has changed, but everything has changed. They see and they remember and they see and they hear and they see and they believe. And the women leave the tomb and they race back and they find the rest of the disciples. And they go and they tell the disciples what they've seen and what they've heard and what they remembered and what they believe. And the disciples, they don't get it. They weren't expecting it either. They didn't believe. The disciples had no way of understanding what the women were saying because this new information just didn't fit with the way of seeing the world that they were comfortable with. And it wasn't until those disciples themselves raced to the tomb and they saw nothing that their eyes were first opened. And they saw everything for the very first time as it really is and as it really had been all along. They didn't find what they were expecting. They found nothing. And that nothing changed everything. You see, the bodily resurrection, the dead body made alive, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, cold, skinned to the touch, now pumping blood and breathing again, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave changes everything. And yet, depending on your perspective, maybe it changes nothing. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave changes everything, and yet depending on how you look at it, maybe it changes nothing. Because Jesus rose from the grave, what, 2,000 years ago-ish? And what's changed? Nothing. I mean, nothing's changed. People still die. Diseases still spread. Parents still get divorced. Drugs still poison. Friends still disappoint. Violence still hurts. Power is still abused. The vulnerable are still bullied. Nothing's changed. Nothing's better. And that's certainly one way of seeing the world and making sense of the world in which we live. And that perspective on life, it works. It works. And yet, sort of like that moment when you first discover that your folks maybe knew a thing or two. And all of a sudden, in light of this new information, that maybe mom and dad knew something, and all of a sudden you have to reevaluate and rethink through all the things that you thought you knew about your past and your present and your future. So the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave, it offers you a new perspective that invites you to look at everything you thought you knew about your past. The resurrection of Christ invites you to look at everything you think you know about the world right now. The resurrection of Jesus invites you to look at everything you are expecting, that you got figured out about what's ahead, from a new perspective. And the resurrection of Jesus invites you to look at who God is as Father and His relationship with you. And through the resurrection of Jesus, we begin to see reality as it really is and as it has been all along. We begin to see it for the very first time. On that Easter morning, they woke up that day expecting to go to a place where dead people are gathered. They woke up that morning expecting to go to a place where life was over, where hope had breathed its last. And maybe that describes your morning. I don't know what your morning's been like. Maybe some of you just like wake up at 5 a.m. on Easter and skip to church singing hallelujahs all the way. Some of you were drug here. Some of you right now are being restrained to sit in the pew. Maybe you woke up this morning expecting to go to a place where a bunch of dead people are gathered, where life is over, where hope has breathed its last. And yet on that first Easter morning, they were met by an unexpected messenger who brought an unexpected message that changed how they saw everything, even though nothing had changed. And maybe your weekend will turn out the same way. You see, nothing but the crucifixion of Jesus makes us good with God. And nothing but the resurrection of Jesus brings any chance of real peace on earth. And nothing but the restoring work of Jesus can put things back together the way they're supposed to be, even undoing the damage that death itself has done to us. And through this resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus rose from the grave, nothing is lacking. Nothing is still needed. Because Jesus rose from the grave, there's nothing that still needs to be done. There's nothing outstanding or lacking that we need to make up. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is nothing you can do, nothing you should have done, nothing you need to do, nothing you will do that will ever lessen God's perfect love for you. God sees you, and He loves you as your eternal Father because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And nothing else. And if that's true, and I believe it is, but if all that's true, and that's something you have to wrestle with, and if you want to have somebody walk alongside you in that journey, I'm here, let's talk. But if all that's true, then it changes everything. Because if that's true, then nothing can separate us from God's love. If your love from God that He has for you is completely dependent on the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus, then there's nothing that can change that for you. Paul himself says in the book of Romans, he says, "What shall separate us from God's love? Nothing. Shall tribulation or distress or nakedness or famine or sword or hunger? No, nothing. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the height nor depth, neither present nor future nor your past, neither cancer nor divorce, neither depression nor addiction, neither bombings nor politicians. Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God which is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord." They woke up that day and they went to the tomb, and it wasn't what they were expecting because Jesus rose and nobody saw it coming. He was and He is alive. And in the tomb they found nothing, and that nothing changes everything. To which I say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Would you please stand, rise with me?